Hello friends, welcome to the course on International HRM, and today's chapter is Managing Expatriate. Now, when you say expatriates, which is popularly known as expat, henceforth we will refer it as expat. Expat management is an integral part of International HRM. As we understand, the hiring expat is as old as the business history of international community. Now, the first question comes, why do we need expat? Expat, need for expatriates. Why the organizations or why the business need expatriates? Of course, if we need these people, then what is the selection process? How we can prepare, how we can really identify people to take up the role of expatriate? What are factors required for them to be prepared to take up this assignment? We'll also look at the area of adjustment probably expatriate need to do, and certainly it's very important to understand also how to reward the expatriates, what are the techniques, what are the measures we need to employ to assess their performance. And of course, at the end, it's very important that expat assignments are not indefinite mostly. So there's a time comes when we need to get the people back, which is known as repatriation. And at the end, we'll summarize the entire structure of this course. Now, starting with need for expatriates, why do we need people? Now, as we seen that there's a growth of business happening across the world, we have been saying that the world is becoming borderless. The trade and business is happening across the countries. Now, when the certain company, certain organization try to venture in a new land, the organization like to have people whom they know their competence, they know their attitude, okay, and they like to have those people to spearhead the new function in new territory. So it comes out of that need of familiarization, need of cultural adjustment, the organizations who really start the new operation in the another country, new country. So they like to have people, they like to identify people who can really go as a missionary and work for the new enterprise. So certainly this is one aspect of need. The other aspect of need, sometimes it is also the specialized skills. There are people who are very specialized in a particular skill, particularly the technical dominance or functional dominance, and they are the people like us experts. So organization like to have those people, take them to a new country and transfer knowledge. So transfer knowledge is also one of the major reasons for the organizations to have expatriate in a new land. And you'll find that this expat initially started with the top management leadership. The organization used to take people who to head the entire business function, entire the organization function. Subsequently, what has happened that the organization has also realized that it is not only the head of the organization or head of the company, but we need people from different domain. And if you look at this study, it shows that the expats comes from operations, R&D, research and development, legal, finance, sales, marketing, and of course now human resource. So there is no bar now as far as function is concerned. We need people from across the function, across the expertise, who are willing to come as expat. Now, if you look at the selection process of expat, now the few factors goes very seriously in while selecting these people. It is not only their technical competency, but also sometimes you need the different skills to be assessed. One is that what is the business need, what is the technical competency, and as far as the softer side is concerned, we also need to look at cultural alignment. Can the person show the indication or say orientation towards change of culture? So with this, when we try to hire people as an expat and send them to the foreign country, one of the major constraints for the organization is the economic viability. Because the person who is migrating, the person who is moving from the parent country to the new country, definitely it is not only one individual, but sometimes and most of the time it's a complete family unit. And the moment you go to a new country, there's a higher risk of relocation, higher risk of stability, and also sometimes the currency differences. So you need to pay more. Now when you need to pay more, definitely it has an impact on your business. So you need to look at the economic viability. Now this has really happened very differently to the countries, particularly in the developing countries, during the last 20 years. The trend has changed. Initially, the trend was that the expat used to come from the developed countries to developing countries. Now, what has happened during the last 20 years with the emergence of IT industry, now the traffic is that the people who are migrating, who are moving from developing countries to developed countries as an expat. So these challenges are completely different, and we'll have a discussion, further discussion on these new challenges. Now, as far as competition is concerned, we'll also look at in detail how does it affect your economic viability. Because the moment you pay them in a foreign currency, so we need to have a balance with their home country pay as well as the new country pay. So, and we need to look at that, how it is viable as far as economic concern of the organization. If you don't maintain this economic viability, the whole thing is that the hiring of resources can become very, very expensive. But at the same time, if you leverage on the cost factor, particularly the way, as I said, that last few decades, there is a reverse trend that people moving from developing country to the developed country are giving organizations very high cost effective benefit. As far as now, if you look at multinational organizations are still willing to pay business capabilities. Why? They need to give premium, because if there are very small number of people, organization can afford to pay premium. But if there are large number of people, you need to have leverage through the effective hiring cost. Now let's look at this quick check. Before organization begins recruiting expatriates, it is essential that, what is essential, what we need to really look at, that whether they consider whether expat role is aligned to the overall business strategy. So if you really look at, this is the most important aspect, not the B and C. So you need to look at whether the expat role is aligned to the business strategy. Because finally, it is a business decision, it is not a charity decision. Sometimes we have seen, in the industry we have seen that there is a huge aspiration of people to go overseas. But the organization just cannot afford to deport someone to go overseas because of will. But definitely, if there is a business that makes sense, if it is a business viability, then the organization makes a decision to deport people overseas. Now, number two, most organizations have decided to retain their expats, but what they do, they control the cost, because that's the important aspect. If the cost is a concern, you cannot take a decision of deporting people overseas. Now, let's look at the next part, expatriate selection, or say expat selection. Let's look at how do we select expat. Now, as far as selection process is concerned, there is no basic fundamental difference in terms of we select people, the way we select managers for our national requirement, and the way we select people for international requirement. Of course, there are certain differences, and there are certain factors we need to take into consideration while selecting people for overseas assignment or as a expatriate. Now, as you are aware that, you know, these are the different approaches, and what has happened in the industry, you can see that there is a over a period of time, the whole selection process or selection mindset has gone through a change. It all started initially when the organization started deputing people overseas. The whole approach was that ethnocentric approach, meaning is that the parent company will identify people from their own country, from their own operation, and they will deport people, those people, to the host country. So thinking was that you are very comfortable with people because they have been with you for years, they understand your culture, they understand your competence, They understand the organization processes. So they are the people, they can be trusted very well. So they are given first preference to depute to the various countries. It went very well, particularly during this manufacturing days and trading, but during last 2 decades, when there is the emergence of IT, telecom and the knowledge industry, there is a shift. There is a shift. Why? Because now the organizations started identifying talent in even developing countries or undeveloped countries. As far as managerial talent is concerned, it's across available. I remember somewhere Jack Welch said that tomorrow's the chief of GE will not operate from US because he spent all his time working in US. But he says that the new CEO may work from Mumbai or Jakarta or Hong Kong. So that's a change of mindset happening across the industry. And people are shifting now the focus from ecocentric approach. So they are going more geography, multiple geography approach or geocentric approach. Now polycentric approach is where the probably people try to recruit people from the host country and identify that talent and they take over as a responsibility for the new business role. So this is the geographical criteria for selection, whether you select people from host country or from particular region or the country where you operate. Now as I said, that is a very flexible approach towards because people are now looking for the talent across the world. There are organizations who are really developing a global talent pool, who are flexible, who are ready to move anywhere overnight. So that's a very welcoming approach, and that really enriches the global talent pool of very successful managers. Now when it comes to the other aspect of selection, I think the assessment center, that conventional way of interviewing techniques, development centers, so all these are applicable when you even hire people for the overseas assignment. Now only thing, probably the factor which is most important, is that you need to look at the cultural fit of the candidate. The candidate whom you are identifying as a future expat, you need to look at the identify the host country and try to understand, try to map that whether the candidate possesses those qualities of accepting a new change. And sometimes for that, I mean, there are specific tests available, psychological testing is available, and of course now there are sometimes the country to country, the acceptance level of those kind of techniques differs. Now there are different theories also available, which normally talk about the very core factors of selection. Now if you look at, there are three theories presented by Mr. Tung, Mendihal and Ronis. So if you look at, he talks about the 4 important aspects. One is the technical competence. The person who must have a technical competence, that's the first prerequisite for selection as an expatriate. Next two is the personal characteristics. Now when you talk about the personal characteristics, you need to look at the softer side of softer attributes. Whether the person has an orientation, person is capable to accept new change, is it adaptive? So you need to look at those factors. Environmental variables. Now environmental variables, you need to look at the persons, the candidates, the family background, whether is he able to take his family out or is he able to stay away from family, could be a both possibilities. And of course the family situation, what we just mentioned about the family situation, which is giving us again special focus on the family aspect, and particularly in the environment aspect, if you go back, you also need to look at the cultural aspect, mainly the culture, the person who is coming from the what culture background, right? So you need to look at those aspects. These are the softer aspect, but very impacts hugely as far as success of the candidate. Now the another gentleman talks about the same, but in a different way. He talks about the Mendihal talks about the orientation, the different type of orientation, whether it is a self orientation. And when you talk about the self orientation, the candidate, you need to look at, assess the candidate's self orientation, whether the person is capable to go for a new risk, new challenges? Can he, is he capable to take additional stress? So all these factors you need to look at before you identify or finalize a candidate for as an expatriate. Now the other orientation is mainly, I think it makes more appropriate to say that is mainly the people orientation. Now people orientation means if you expect this person to move to another country, it's a stranger country, what is most important is that other than technical capability, what is most important is that your people skill, your human relation skill, whether the person is capable to deal with the people, to connect with the people. If, because this is the paramount important, if you have excellent technical skill but somebody is poor in people management, the person is going to be failed. And that's very important. You need to look at the orientation in terms of relationship development, willingness to communicate. These are all again softer aspects. The third is the perceptual dimension. Now perceptual dimension is that sometimes I have seen in my career also that people who come from the developed countries, they look down or says they feel that, you know, that they are dealing with the people who are inferior. Now this kind of mindset can become dangerous. So you need to have a person who have a respect for different cultures. The person has the ability not to pass on any judgment but accept willingly this is a different culture. He or she should understand I belong to one culture and I am working in a different culture. It may not be right for me, but I must accept that that's the right for the people who are working in this country. And cultural toughness dimension. Cultural toughness is that again it shows the flexibility, whether the person is flexible enough to accept and to adapt for the new cultural realities. And sometimes the cultural reality is that as simple as that, I have heard that, you know, when we hired someone from Germany and this expat came here for setting up manufacturing plant in India, and his wife, she had a major complaint that how come your country, we're working in Pune at that time, and she felt that there's no yogurt available. Now she was so used to have yogurt for her kids and she couldn't find yogurt, and she said, oh, your country is so undeveloped, you don't have even yogurt. Now so such kind of issues may create a alienation, or say, I mean, it creates a bad taste for the people or for people in the host country. So if you summarize this, what is more important? You need to have a technical skill, you need to have tolerance for ambiguity, because you are in new culture, sometimes you may not get objective answer, yes or no, so you need to take a judgment. You need to have belief in mission, because mission is the sense that your organization has selected you as a missionary. Your organization expects you to achieve certain mission and you are there with this mission, so you are ready to accept certain difficult situations. Willingness of spouse to live abroad and host country language. Willingness to spouse, I am saying if you are with family, definitely you need to have the family acceptance. Language is very important. I remember that in 80s when we first trained our batch of engineers and we wanted to deport them to Sanyo, Japan. What we did is that we have gone through the entire 6 months Japanese learning program. We taught them Japanese basic speaking, not writing, but at least basic speaking skills. So they understood what is Japanese language. They can understand the meaning. If they want to say thank you, they at least know that is what to say. If they want to talk about their name, they know it. We also introduced them to food habits. I remember I taking them in the Chinese restaurant and teaching them to eat with straws, introduce them to Japanese films. We organized the Japanese film festivals, film shows for this group of people. So whole idea was cultural alignment. And once they went there and we found that it was a very smooth transition for them, because they already know how is the Japanese culture. So they were not surprised when they were received by the chairman of the company along with the driver, because in our Indian culture the hierarchy is different. You will not find a driver accompanying the chairman of the company, but in Japan our engineers, when they went, they saw that the driver and chairman, they are coming together to welcome. So it's a different cultural. Of course, it was not a shock because they were all trained earlier. But in absence of training, it would have been a big shock. So let's go for this selection criteria. As I said, that as far as expatriate is concerned, the selection criteria remains same. What we do for the normal managers, the same thing is applicable for international managers, except the cultural fit and the readiness to change. Otherwise, job factors, relational dimensions, or say motivational states. So all these factors we need to take into consideration while identifying the expat. Now here this Ronen's model talks about family situation, which we just talked about. I remember even in fact actually we conducting a program for family members. Suppose if you are hiring people, say we want to recruit people in UK. So we invited even the families, we educated them how is the UK culture, correct? What do you expect in UK and what you don't expect? How is the difference from Indian culture, including even the traffic discipline, even the your eating habits, your cultural aspects, your attire. So all these aspects we need to really look at and even orient your families so that when they go there, there is a less stress on a direct individual. Language skill we have already seen. Family readiness, of course, if the family is ready, I think that whole transition becomes very easy. Now, when you talk about the family, I think the few other aspects are you need to look at. You also need to look at the family, not only the cultural orientation, but many times there's a challenge that if you have kids, what happens to their schools? What kind of schools you will identify for them? What happens to the transition? So, in fact, actually, there are many companies, there are like a specialized companies who conduct the whole relocation program, and that becomes a very easy or very handy for your family transition. You will also find that many companies, you will find in many states, there are many countries, there is a change as far as the family. There are certain countries, they allow family to take up the additional role. There are certain countries who don't. Like say, it was a restriction earlier in US that your family, if you are on family visa, you are not eligible to work. But now, of course, there is a flexibility. As far as Europe is concerned, UK is concerned, yes, family members are also allowed to take up a role, to take up a job, if your spouse is on work permit. Now, role of extended families and emotional conflicts, of course, these are the factors which are probably also impact. But if you take care of the families, I think the extended family factor is not that difficult to address, but most important is that you need to look at the individual first, then family, and of course, if really you can go to that extra bit, you want to take care of your extended family. As I said, the spouse satisfaction with expatriate matters a lot. I have seen many examples where we deput people on overseas assignment, and maybe say down the line 6 months, there are complaints that family adjustment is the problem, and then probably the person wants to come back, and if that happens, it's a big loss to the organization. Now, when you are deputing people overseas, it is also important to have an additional engagement. Now, for example, say if you have offering a role for your manager, so probably if you give additional package of basically going for a higher education for him, her, or the family members, that becomes an additional engagement tool for family to really get settled there. We also develop a program in collaboration with various universities in US and Europe so that the family members can also enroll themselves and try to engage themselves along with the employee of the company. Schooling and child care arrangement. Now this is very sensitive issue, as I told you, and this relocation program really helps a lot. That this relocation experts, what they do is that before the family comes to the new land, they are trained to know that they are well aware what are the options available for them as far as school is concerned, what is the schooling method, how it will different from their parent country and the host country, and can you really make them prepared for the transition. Now, if you look at quick check, what it says, reinforcement substitution as being important in predicting success, it means, what does it mean? Activities that serve to strengthen the expat's self-esteem. According parallel substitute host country for activities that an expat finds pleasurable at home country. Activities that help coping adapt to the new physical environment. Now, what is most important here is, if you look at according to Tung, one of the most important criteria for expat selection is technical competence on the job. So, you need to look at what is the important aspect. First is the technical competence, but if you go back here again, the most important reinforcement substitution comes from parallel substitutes at host country for activities that expat finds pleasurable at home country. So you need to find something parallel, which if something is really make happy a person in home country, is there anything which will really also make him happy equally? So if there is something parallel substitute available, that gives a guarantee of expat success. Friends, we have seen why do we need hire expat, and if we hire, how do we select them, and now we'll look at how we make them prepared for this role. So let's look for the expat preparation. Now, as I said that before this slide, we said that you need to identify a person who is ready to take risk, who is ready to change, who can really go through the cultural shock, who can accept new values, systems and social readjustment. So these are the important aspects, and we need to really prepare them to take up this new role. Now, what happens if the expat is not prepared for this risk is a huge loss to the organization. Now, sometimes that loss, which is mentioned here, that it can go to $250,000 to $300,000, and this is one of the examples, but it can be sometimes very, very disastrous, multifold of this $300,000 if there is a failure. So you need to be very, very responsible to prepare expat for the cultural adjustment. Now, as I said, the key to expat success is intercultural training, and that's the key, because you need to really prepare expat how culturally the person need to be sensitized to the new culture. And as I mentioned just now, that although somebody has a very excellent training competence but very poor cultural alignment, the person is going to be failed. So intercultural training is a key. I remember during my assignment in Europe, we organized the cultural training program not only for the people from the host country, but the people coming from a different country. Like say, we had a people working under one roof from a very varied, varied nationality. We had people coming from USA, we had people coming from Germany, France, Europe, the rest of Europe, and of course India. Now, if you have such a diverse group, they are coming, so you need to organize the cultural sensitivity program. Now, this cultural sensitivity program create appreciation, create respect for each other's culture. It also help not minimize the misunderstanding, and you can probably evolve a common language as a team. So this training can go further into not only the culture, but into the processes, into the work habits of the organization, people, and probably it really helps people to adopt a different style, different communication patterns, and minimize the misunderstanding of the organizations. As I also mentioned, the language training is also very important. When you really work in a multinational environment, sometimes you come across the people with a different language. Although the words are same, but the meaning is different. Sometimes the accent is different, and how to deal with that? And it's question of the communication, verbal communication, your non-verbal communication, your written communication, email. So all these aspects of communication, you need to really prepare people demonstrate them what does it mean when it is being communicated in a particular language, and how you should really take a right meaning, how you should take I think most important is that it's not only understanding about the words, but understand the spirit behind those words, understand the emotions, understand the cultural aspect or the unsaid meaning. Learning, see, look at the studies. The study shows that learning that local language has been rated by expat as the biggest hurdle to overcome in relocation. So, because as far as language is concerned, we try to deport people. When we deport people, expat, I think the average age is there, certainly they are the 25 and above. So now, when we answer 25 and above, our ability to learn language also goes down, because our ability to learn technical competence, other managerial competence, that is up. But that's not an age where probably you are very keen to learn a new language. Now, and that becomes a big hurdle to learn new language. But in this case, what is essential is that you can have the different packages. It's like, you know, the primary understanding about the language. If you do that, if you conduct these programs, at least it will help expat to have at least flair of the new language and new culture. Now, there are many ways probably you can familiarize the expats. You can have the first, the familiarizing trips. So, take the families to the new country. But this becomes a very expensive. Now, it also varies from position to position. If you are really hiring an expat at a very senior position, probably that time the organization can even afford to take or to offer a family trip before the actual deportation. So, the family goes to the new country, get accustomed, and then come back, and they really join the expat when the person start their job. I remember my own experience. I remember when I moved from the urban, moved from the city metro to a tier 2 city in India. The first thing probably to help us when we went as a family, look at the people, look at the new environment, look at the new situation. When we got the acceptance, and subsequently that becomes a success for my stint with that organization. So if that can happen within the country, certainly it can definitely will happen, and it will help someone to have that family acceptance, particularly when you are moving to a new country. Now, cultural briefing again is a part of your relocation cultural training. So it's very important to have a cultural briefing in details. And this many times it happens. My observation is that, you know, it is not essential or it is not enough to have just one capsule of training. But what is more important is that it's a reinforcement of these aspects that you need to have a program before deportation. Then you can have a periodic program in small capsules. Those capsules program, particularly for the cultural briefing, becomes very successful.